what God has to say to us today from his word. We're looking at John chapter 8, which is in your newsletter. I'm just going to pray before we get to that, and a few things before we get to that as well. Let's pray. Lord God, as we think about this passage we're about to read, it certainly gives us a real reality check of our world, our culture, our lives, and where we sit, and who you are as our God. Lord, the passage you read will confront us, Lord. Your word will confront us, Lord. We pray that in this, Lord, we not only experience the exposure of your truth, but also the exposure of your grace and mercy to us. Lord, help us to see that you are the light of the world. We pray this through your Spirit, that it will come in and enable us to see this. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, the theme today is Jesus is the light of the world. And I remember many years ago in Swan Hill, we had the floods happening. And we're all sandbagging and doing stuff. And particularly the night of the floods, there was a bit of worry because Kerrang, the power station, was going to get flooded. And that particular night, all the power went out in Swan Hill. And it wasn't. We all thought that the power grid had been destroyed by the flood. But it was actually, I think it was a crow that hit one of the major things in the power plant, little power plant here, and caused an outage. And most of the town, you sort of looked out, and it was in complete darkness. And it was this sort of eerie feeling because you didn't know how long it was going to be that. Because at first we thought that Kerrang power plant there just has been flooded and destroyed, and we're going to be out of power for probably many months. But the first thing was interesting, that first thing you did is when the darkness is you went and tried to find a torch. And I remember that night because I went and found the torch, and then I also thought, well, I want to find out what's going on. And the radios all took batteries, and I sat there and looked at all the batteries I had, and I raced up to Coles that night thinking they got generators, and everyone in town is like this flood of people all coming to Coles to get batteries. It was just one of those things. And then we found out that it was the crow that hit this power thing, and it wasn't the power plant out of town. But I wonder what it'd be like if we actually lived that way all the time. You know, like it was always just this darkness, and we didn't know any different. As I was reading this passage of John, I was thinking about life, and I was thinking about, you know, sometimes you hear those weird stories of those people that have been kidnapped and they grow up in those weird sort of situations, in those dark rooms. And imagine if our life was like that. Imagine if our life somehow were born and we lived in this dark house and with all the windows nailed up and the front doors all nailed up, and it was pitch black inside. And it's this life of darkness, and we have nothing to compare it with. And you find yourself in this sort of fearful and frustrated, and you feel lost, and you're roaming around in this house, and you're bumping and hurting yourself, and that's the life as you know it. Well, John tells us, John chapter 8, verse 12, that Jesus is the light of the world. That Jesus has entered our world, has entered our darkness, in order to give us eternal life. See, John wants us to believe in Jesus, to be exposed to Jesus, the pure light of God, to have eternal life in Jesus, and to live a life that no longer is in darkness, but found in Jesus. And so John is painting a picture. He's painted this since John chapter 1, that our world and our life is like a dark house. And then Jesus, who is the light, enters into this darkness. It's like he rips open the door and you see this light. And many were afraid. Imagine that would be a fearful thing if you'd lived in a house for all your life that had darkness and all of a sudden light. Would you believe what's going on? And so Jesus enters into this darkness, into our world. And today I want us to consider 3 points from John 8. And we're going to look at John 8 in a minute. Firstly, that Jesus is the light of the world that overcomes darkness. I think that's something that we've got to know. We've got to hold on to that. But secondly, that Jesus sets us free from the darkness of sin and shame, because we all experience sin and shame. Deep down, we've all done something wrong. We've all got guilt. And thirdly, Jesus gives those who receive him and his word eternal life. Eternal life. It's not about us, it's about Jesus. I think you want to see this in this passage. It's all about Jesus. So let us read John chapter 8 and verse 12. It should be in your newsletter if you want to follow along. Pick it up, or pick up your device or your phone or whatever you got. This is Jesus speaking. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Jesus answered, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me." They said to him, "Therefore, where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not come. So he said to them, "Again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come." So the Jews said, "Will he kill himself, since he says, 'Where I am going, you cannot come'?" He said to them, "You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." So they said to him, "Who are you?" Jesus said to them, "Just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him." They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." As he was saying these things, many believed in him. One of the key points that John is always trying to put across in his passages, people believed, but as we will investigate, we'll see their belief is a different kind of belief. But what we can see in this passage is that Jesus makes it very, very clear that he is the light of the world. That in Jesus we experience the radiance of God's light to our lives and to our world, to everything around us. That in Jesus is the pure goodness and righteousness and morality of God. And this is clearly revealed in Jesus' ministry. If we look at his life, what's revealed in the gospel accounts, his teaching, his healing, the power over nature, over the demonic and over death. Jesus is there with all the righteousness, goodness and morality of God. Yet we live in this world full of darkness. That's what John is trying to say. He starts this in John 1, that there's a darkness in our world. Our world is full of darkness and Jesus enters into it. And it's been this way since humanity rebelled. Back in the beginning, back in Genesis, back in the Garden of Eden. Yet Jesus enters our world of darkness to reveal and show who God is, to reveal God's light. He overcomes the darkness of us being separated from God's light. He saves us, redeems us. from the spiritual darkness that we're born into. And that can be really hard to swallow, because we don't like to think we're in darkness. I mean, a bit like that person in the room that's all barred up. They probably have just got so used to their life, they don't even know any different. They don't know that there is a real world out there that's of light. And again, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." In love, Jesus came in our darkness. But when we get to verse 13, we see the Pharisees, these religious elites, they say to Jesus, "You have no right to come and make these claims." They instantly dismissed him as being not true. Why? Because Jesus didn't comply to what they believe. "We will not believe you, Jesus," they say. "You know, we've made our own conclusions about who you are, Jesus, and we're not interested if you are the light." See, they prefer to remain in darkness. And these were religiously good people. These were people who did good works. And yet they reject Jesus. I mean, could it be that we reject Jesus because in our minds we set up what God should be like? You know, how often do people reject God because they believe, how can a loving God allow suffering? So they instantly reject God. Or we can't believe in a God we cannot see, so we instantly reject God. You know, we want God to jump through our hoops, so we judge God according to us. But God, Jesus says those judgments, they're just according to human standards, according to human abilities of those who are in a darkened world. Verse 15, we judge according to the flesh. And Jesus says if he was to judge us in that moment, we would be the ones in trouble. Because his judgments are true. Ours are not true, but his are true. And his truth, his light, exposes our heart, our sin. And yet here we see Jesus holding back his judgment. We know that Jesus came not to judge our world, but to save it. Here. But we also know that Jesus will come back again to judge our world because his judgments are true and they must be carried out. Even then, it won't be about how we view things, but what Jesus declares as true, because all truth comes from Jesus. And yet the people still choose to reject him. These are God's people. These are the Jewish people who had grown up with the law and Moses and the prophets. And they will not believe Jesus. In fact, they go on the attack. They say to Jesus, "Where is your father? Where is your father? Prove it. Prove yourself." And interesting enough that they could be having a go at Jesus' controversial birth, that he did not have a natural father. So they're saying, "Joseph's not your real dad, mate. We have some credibility here." They go on the attack. They're trying to convince the people around, the crowds, don't take Jesus seriously. But Jesus simply states, "You have no idea what you're talking about. If you knew me, the light of the world, you would know the Father. You would know God. You think you know," he's saying to them, "but you really don't know. Because you are living in darkness and you do not know the truth." How sad. These are good religious people, but they do not know Jesus. And isn't that what we do in our human judgments? We often think we know. We make judgments on how we perceive things. And yet often we're wrong. Often we judge a situation and we're wrong. And that's what they're doing here with Jesus. And Jesus makes judgments on truth, and his judgments are true. They are morally pure and righteous. And yet so often in our thinking, it's so earthly. And this was where the Jews struggled. They couldn't understand who Jesus was. They were darkened in their hearts. And all these things were happening in the treasury of the temple. And it's interesting that John records that, because in that particular area, the Jews lit four great lights, great candles, that reminded the people of the Exodus. Reminded back in the Old Testament, they didn't have the New Testament, this was getting written later on, but have reminded the people of the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths. You can see this in chapter 7. You can go back and have a look, but it tells you what's going on, what season it is in the people of God. And this feast reminded them of their exodus from slavery, from out of Egypt into the wilderness, which would bring them to the promised land. And in this, the fire of God led them into the wilderness. And so Jesus stands there at this feast that reminded people of God, who would walk before them, who would show them the way. He sits there at this feast, and maybe they're starting to put the candles out, I don't know. And Jesus proclaims that he is the actual true light. And not simply the light for Israel, but the entire world. Why? Because not just Israel lives in sin and darkness, but all people. All people live in sin and darkness. The one true light, not just some candles, the true light has come into the world. And he has come from above. Jesus is not a light. He's not a light to go along with many lights, like we have Buddha and Muhammad and all these things. No, Jesus is the light of the world. The only one who can deliver us from the power of sin and darkness. And Jesus says also that he is leaving the earth. In this particular passage here, he's leaving. And he says to the people around him that where I am going, you cannot come. Verse 21. Why? Because of their sin. They thought that Jesus had gone crazy and suicidal, yet Jesus is calling them to believe in him, that he is the one that can take away their sin. Verse 24, I told you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he who will die in your sins. So they said to him, who are you, Jesus? Who are you, Jesus said to them, just what I've been telling you from the beginning. Over and over and over again, Jesus had been saying, I am the one. And they keep on ignoring him. Jesus is like saying, I'm not going to have this conversation again. I've been telling you this all along. Many reject Jesus this day, this moment here. They reject him because they believe they know better. Because they are in darkness. They believe Jesus has just got it all wrong. They've got it right. Jesus has got it wrong. And I wonder if that's you. I wonder if that's you. I wonder if that's you and your relationship to Jesus. You know about Jesus, but according to you, Jesus has got it all wrong and you've got it right. And so instead of hearing what Jesus says, you just sit there and make these false accusations about Jesus and make your own judgments and come to your own conclusions. At least to give Jesus the time to study what he says, rather than jump to your own conclusions. Because Jesus tells us here that unless you believe in him, you will be accountable for your sin. You will be accountable for every wrong action you've done. But as we read this passage, we also see that many believed in Jesus, verse 30. And so now Jesus draws his attention to those who believed in him. And this is getting really tricky here. Because these people believe. So this brings us to our second point, that Jesus actually frees us from the darkness of sin and shame. But let's read verse 31 to 47. The truth will set you free is normally what it's titled and used very loosely by our culture, but it's actually got a deeper meaning. Verse 31, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are the offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say we will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are the offspring of Abraham, in other words, they're their natural descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my words find no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you'd be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." You know, you would think that Jesus would have got excited about all these people who believed. Many believed. But Jesus doesn't leave those who believe there without a challenge. A challenge as to what true believing is. See, Jesus knows that although they believe, they're still in darkness. Verse 31, abiding or remaining in his word means you are his disciples. So there's a connection. Believing comes into result of remaining, abiding in Jesus' word. Believing in Jesus will set you free. His truth has the spiritual ability to set you free from darkness, from the guilt and the shame of sin. But for people, they thought of literal freedom. They thought of slavery as literal. And they believed that because they were Abraham's descendants, children of the promise, they had never been enslaved. They had no need to be free. And what Jesus was offering them was ridiculous. But Jesus answered them in verse 34, that anyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. You see, when sin captures our hearts, we become a slave to it. It rules us. And they were boasting in their religious attachment to Abraham, but Jesus really gets to the heart, that they are slaves to sin and unable to free themselves. And the interesting thing is that they can't even see their spiritual problem, even though they can't even see their actual national problem, that they actually are occupied by Rome. So at the time, they actually weren't free. So literally, can they see their own national issue? They can't even see their own spiritual issue, problem, their own spiritual slavery to God, to sin. And nothing they can do will earn that freedom. That's why they need Jesus. That's why Jesus came. To believe and follow him is the key to being rescued from the slavery of sin. Because a slave has no security in his own household, in a household. But the son, he has the authority to set the slave free. So Jesus sets us free, so we no longer face the judgment. And rather than being slaves, we're transformed into children of God, all by his grace. Nothing we've done to earn it. But those who are there, who believe, this is the scary bit, those who believed in Jesus still refused to listen to Jesus. They still want to kill him. And why do they do this? Jesus answered this. Because his word finds no place in them. Jesus is speaking to them, telling them they are in darkness, but their hearts refuse to allow Jesus' words to have any say, to find a place. These were people who claimed to believe in God. These are people who are good religious people, yet they find no place for God's word in them. This is a scary passage. Because it's clear you can have a belief in Jesus, but that belief is actually useless unless his word has a place in you. You see, you can believe yet still remain in darkness. Because truly, believing in Jesus means that your life soaks in Jesus. Because you desire his light to shine in your heart. You don't just believe him as an abstract thing, but it actually has meaning to you. His word finds a place in you, a place of power, a place of light. So Jesus is warning us that we may say that we believe in him, but if we truly believe, if we're truly his disciples, we will be people of his word. We will believe and we will abide in his word. We will remain in his word. Because Jesus takes following him seriously. That his followers, those who know Jesus, take his word seriously. That they allow Jesus to expose the darkness. You know, as we continue in his word, we continually reveal the darkness in our hearts. But the good thing is, with the light of the gospel, it doesn't just leave us there in that darkness. It doesn't just leave us there with that exposed shame and guilt, but it brings growth and healing. Verse 42, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not on my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is you are not of God." The Jews answered him, Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered him, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me." You know, you see, these believing Jews were left very confused in their darkness. Jesus tells them they are not truly Abraham's children, because if they were, they would have loved him. But they cannot bear to hear his word. They cannot stand it. And in their darkness, they have no place for Jesus. They may be the natural offspring by sexual relationship of Abraham, but they are spiritual slaves to the devil, as he says to them. And just like the devil, these people live and pursue darkness and evil. They love it. In their hearts, they want to kill Jesus, exactly like Satan, a murderer. And the proof is in their hearts that they don't love Jesus, even though these are good religious people, who from outward looking, you would think they're holy people. But in their hearts, they don't love Jesus. They want to kill him. They want to kill the very one who can free them from their problem. That's how twisted, how dark we are, that we reject the very light that would set us free. We actually think that Jesus will bring slavery to us, yet he brings freedom because we already are slaves to the darkness, to sin and shame and guilt, to rebellion against God. And rather than coming out of the darkness to Jesus, we find it a lot easier to excuse, to reject him, to find excuses about who Jesus is. They call him a Samaritan, demonic, probably the two worst things you could probably call someone in that culture at that time. They just want to reject him. Isn't that what we can do? We can write off Jesus with insults. Can't we do that? Sometimes our culture does it. Often our culture does it, is write Jesus off. But shouldn't this also warn us that we can also write others off? Often in our lives we write people off of insults, and we seek to destroy rather than seek to build up people. And that's why we need Jesus to expose our hearts, because we often are like that. That brings us to our third point, that Jesus gives us eternal life. The good news is that Jesus tells us that those who believe and follow him belong to God. In Jesus, they have eternal life. They no longer fear death and condemnation. Verse 50, "Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now that we know that you have a demon, Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered him, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He said it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you are not 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. In the very place where God's presence was to dwell with his people in a special way, in the temple, there was Jesus, the light of the world, revealing himself as God. The I am statement is linked back to the Old Testament where God was called the great I am. That's why they stone him, because he claimed to be God. And so they reject him and they kill him. Well, try to kill him, but he hides. The very feast that was to remind them that God would take them by the hand out of slavery into the promised land, the very feast that reminded them of God's great light that would guide them through the wilderness, at this feast they rejected the very light they needed. Jesus, the true light of God, was there, and yet they couldn't see him. Jesus is the light, the only light, that can take us out of spiritual darkness. You see, each one of us is born into a world of spiritual darkness. Even these religious people here, even if you're born into a religious family, to a Christian family, you are still born into darkness. And only Jesus can deliver you from that slavery, of sin and darkness. Free us from the guilt and shame that makes us free from all condemnation from God. Jesus is the one who deals with our sin and sets us free. Truly, verse 51, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. So why is John 8 important for us today? Well, clearly, Jesus is the only one that can transfer you and me from darkness to light, from sin and shame into the people of God, into the child of God. That Jesus is the one who releases you and me from the slavery of sin into disciples of his word. Think about that. In one sense, with one sense, sin brings slavery, but with Jesus brings discipleship. Therefore, believing in him and following him is the most important decision and relationship you could ever make in your life. Because it's only in Jesus that you and I can have and live and walk in eternal life. Without Jesus, I cannot have eternal life, and I will remain in spiritual darkness. I wonder where your relationship with Jesus is today. Maybe you're like the crowds. You say you believe, but you spend most of your life in darkness. You continually find yourself enslaved by sin. The crowds have their opinions of Jesus, and we often have our opinions of Jesus. Our culture has a view of Jesus, but what Jesus tells us really does matter. It matters eternally. And remember, like I said, these are good religious people, but they're rejecting Jesus. They had good holy lives, and yet in their hearts they hated Jesus. You see, it's not your religious works that deliver you from darkness. I'm going to have a cough and a drink. It's not your religious works that deliver you from darkness. It's what you do with Jesus. So you may look good outwardly. You may come from the right kind of family. But in your heart, you have no place for Jesus in his word. Jesus is the key. It's not how religious you are. It's what you're doing with Jesus in your life. If you reject Jesus, the very light, you need to be rescued. If you reject Jesus, the very light that rescues you from your own sin and darkness, you will remain in darkness, and you will remain accountable for your sin. You cannot have eternal life without Jesus. And it was on the cross where Jesus dealt with our sin. His death was our death. As we celebrated communion, we remember it's important because in Jesus we died to sin. Yet we have a choice to receive Jesus or reject him. There's no middle spiritual dimmed room. It's either light or darkness. But for our lives, could it be that we really don't believe that Jesus and his word overcomes your darkness? I mean, you believe in Jesus, but you still remain in darkness. You feel the guilt and the shame of sin. The dark things that enslave you, all the fears and doubts. Jesus calls you to come to him, the light of the world. Come to his word. Walk in Jesus, the light. You know, if you're unsure, come and see one of us. We'll pray for you. We'll pray for you that Jesus may speak to your heart, to allow his light to expose. You see, the good thing is that Jesus' light doesn't just expose all our shame and guilt. It also brings growth, just like the sun brings light. You know, when you see a sunrise and you're driving at night time, you see the sunrise and how it brings light, but it's also bringing growth. And so as we walk in him, Jesus brings us growth. His spirit within us transforms our heart to be like him, making us free people. Free people to say no to sin. And when sin does take us down, see, we still struggle with sin, but when it does, the light once again exposes it and brings healing through repentance and trusting in him. Our guilt and shame is healed. And as we look to his word, we see that on the cross, Jesus paid for our sin, that we do not have to be living in shame. And this is just a continual process that we have in our lives, in our hearts, as Jesus is working in us. But in this, we should be creatures of the Word, because the Word exposes us. That shows us who we belong to. I wonder where your life goes when you're looking to live life. Where does it go when darkness comes? Could it be that we don't believe Jesus is really the light? Could we believe that his word really isn't life-changing? Where do you go when things get tough? Where do you find life? In the world or the word? Only one letter that makes a complete eternal difference. Do you want to be a slave to our world or free as sons and daughters who belong to Christ? How does that play out in your life? Is it evident? Are you overcoming sin and temptation as Jesus, the light, is working in your hearts? And are you also doing what Jesus did? Because Jesus came to a world of darkness to proclaim the goodness, the light, the grace of God, the mercy of God. Are you going out as ambassadors for Jesus, as people who are transformed by the light into a dark world to tell them about Jesus, the only one who can open their hearts and eyes to see that he is the truth? Jesus alone is the only one who deals with our darkness, our shame, our sin, our spiritual blindness. He's the one who deals with all our doubts and our fears. Jesus is the one who will one day transform our darkened world, making it into a glorious city. See, we're not in Jesus' kingdom now. In a sense, it's not fully here. But one day, a glorious world, a city with pure goodness and grace and light of God will appear. And a place of righteousness will be here. But for now, let us be people who are found in the light of God, people of his word, who put Jesus in our hearts, who love him, and who walk with him. Let us pray. Father, as we hear these words, we are captivated by your love, because your love and grace would not leave us in darkness, that you would choose to come and enter that world of darkness, that you would come and die for our sins in that darkness, that all that darkness, all that guilt and shame would be upon you, so that we would no longer be slaves to the darkness, to our world of darkness, but we would be free children of God. Lord, we know that nothing in us can do this. We know that the people that you spoke to here, They were good religious people, Lord, and they could have boasted in how good they were. But yet, Lord, they were not good enough to enter your kingdom because they still lived in darkness. Lord, help us to know that. Help us to know that in us, that what we do does not earn us the right to be children, but it's through you on the cross that we become children, that through you entering our hearts and transforming our lives that we become your children. Lord, help us to get into your word so that we may have that life, that we may remain in it, that when darkness comes, when fears trouble us, Lord, rather than thinking about all the different things that culture may talk about and all the things that our heart may bring up, Lord, let us come into your word. Let it bring light to our hearts. Let it expose it, but also bring healing upon our shame. Help us to do this, we pray, Lord. Help us to be your people. Help us be transformed once again. We pray through Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.